Psalm 78 this morning. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you for being here. Sure do appreciate every Christian in the building praying for us today. We sure need the prayers of the Lord. We welcome our visitors this morning. Precious to our heart are the people that would take the time to come and visit with us at Bible Way Baptist Church. The Bible said in Psalm 78, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known." Boy, that word "know" just keeps popping up this morning, don't it? Amen. "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them." Look at that. Boy, I tell you, God's hammering that word this morning. They might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. If correctly read, that's verse 1 down through verse number 8. Of Psalm 78. You may be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God now. Lord, I pray this morning that you would give us clarity of thought and heart and mind. And God, give us clarity of speech. God, give the church ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us this Lord's Day. Help us, we do pray, as we look into the Word of God, in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I'd like to speak to you for a little while this morning on this subject, some things we need to teach our children. Some things we need to teach our children. This chapter is so rich. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, I'm going to make an attempt to get through what I believe God wants me to do in this service. But I honestly believe with all my heart that you could preach for 2 hours out of this chapter without a problem at all. I believe with all of my heart this morning God has some things he wants us to focus in on in the message. Let me just get started this morning. The first thing I believe we need to teach our children is found in verse number 1 down through verse number 6. I'm not going to read it again in its entirety, but the Bible talks about the uttering the dark sayings of old. It talks about my law. It talks about making his commandments known. Beloved, the first thing we need to teach our children is this. There's no substitute for the Word of God. I said there's no substitute for the Word of God. Beloved, listen, I've tried to teach the boys this week. Listen, that getting saved is just the beginning. That's just the start of the journey, amen. And I tell you, the Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And people have been saved because they heard the Word of God. But now we need to grow hearing the Word of God. And we need to mature hearing the Word of God. And we need to memorize the Word of God. And we need to heed the Word of God. And beloved, I believe, listen, Kingsport would be a different town if there was as much time spent in the Word of God as there is spent in the newspaper or the Hot Rod magazine. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart our children need to know there's no substitute for God's Word if we're going to be a successful child of God, a child of God that makes a difference in this generation and in the next. The second thing that I see here that I want to share with you, I find in verse number 7. You say, "Preacher, what do you see here that we need to teach our children?" The Bible said that they might set their hope in God. The second thing I believe we need to teach our children, Brother Dwayne, is that they can put their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen, that they might set their hope in God. The Bible talks about in the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that hope is an anchor of the soul. I'll tell you something I believe. One of the reasons children are like this, they're all over the place. They're into everything. They're putting everything in their bodies. And amen, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, they're poking holes everywhere. They're putting drugs in their body. They're in the bottom of an alcohol bottle. I believe one of the reasons is that somebody forgot to teach them that our hope is not in this world. It's not in the things of this world. But our hope is in the Lord. Amen. And our children need to see that, not just be taught in word, but they need to be taught in example that our hope is in God. The Bible said He's an anchor of the soul. The Bible said our hope is a living hope. The word that King James Bible uses is lively. Amen. Boy, I wish somebody would get some of that lively hope this morning. Amen. And not just sit there and look like a knot on a log. I'm talking about an old sinner been saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with the hammer down. If I quit breathing this morning in this pulpit, I'll lift my eyes in the city of God and be with Jesus. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. This hope is a blessed hope. Now the Word of God talks about the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something right now. God's going to have to interrupt a lot of people's plans just to get them out of this world. I'm telling you, beloved, we're supposed to get up in the morning looking for Jesus. We're supposed to eat dinner looking for Jesus. We're supposed to eat supper looking for Jesus. We're supposed to go to bed looking for Jesus. We're supposed to get up the next morning looking for Jesus. Honey, it's not being taught, but the hope of the church is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank God we need to teach our children that there's hope. Their hope is in the Lord. Then let me give you this, number three. We need to teach our children that the real problem is a heart problem. Amen. Watch this now. Watch this now. I'm telling you, in pulpits across America, there's a lot of people preaching on things that they see. They'll preach on the piercings, they'll preach on the tattoos, they'll preach on the long hair, they'll preach on the short skirts. But I'm telling you, our children need to know, listen to me, the real problem's not what you're seeing on the outside. The real problem is the heart of man. Amen. It's what's going on in the heart. That's why people shack up and don't get married. That's why, beloved, there's two men living together and kissing one another, because there's no regard for the Word of God. It's a heart problem. It's not an outside problem. It's an internal problem. It's a heart problem. Beloved, the Baptists are notorious for trying to clean fish before they catch them. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't need to, my friend, be gutting that fish if you ain't got him on the bank. I want to see you do it. Can you boys imagine you was in that pond yesterday trying to clean one of them fish before you ever got it on the bank? That'd have been tough, wouldn't it? Amen? They're greasy under the water. We need to catch them. In other words, go fishing for men. Tell them about Jesus. And if they get their heart right, Jesus will do the cleaning. He'll do the cleaning. Amen. Oh, beloved, you say, preacher, I don't see that in the text. Well, let me help you. Look in verse number 8. The Word of God said, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. A whole generation didn't set their heart aright. Look at verse 18. The Word of God said they tempted God in their heart. Beloved, it was a heart problem. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me this morning. One little boy was standing up in the pickup seat of the pickup truck alongside of his dad, and his dad said, sit down, son. He said, son, I said, sit down. He's still standing there. He said, one more time, son, I told you, sit down. If you don't sit down, I'm going to pull this truck over and I'm going to wear you out. That little boy reminds me of Sawyer. He sat down. He said, hey, Dad. He said, what, son? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. The real problem is a heart problem. There's a whole lot of people sitting in the house of God on the outside, but they're still standing up somewhere else on the inside. The real problem is a heart problem. The Word of God said here, beloved, listen, it was in their heart. They didn't set their heart right. Look at verse 36 through verse number 37 here. The Word of God said this, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Beloved, let me just say something to you right here. Listen carefully. It's a dangerous thing to be going through life and making decisions with a heart that is not right with God. Let me say this to you. It's a dangerous thing, beloved, listen, to think that we can have our heart right with God and not have our heart right one with another. Amen. It don't work that way. Brother Grizzle, am I right? Don't this Bible teach if me and you's going to be right with God, we need to get right with one another? Amen. Amen. I believe that's Bible. Amen. I believe that's revival. Amen. The recipe for revival. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing. We need to teach our children. Watch this in verse 70 and 72. The cure. What's the cure? The cure is found in his heart. Look at verse 72. Don't you get excited just because I'm in the end of the chapter. Look at verse 70. The Bible said he chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. And the Bible said from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. The heart can only be solved. That problem can only be solved as we see the heart of God. Amen. Beloved, listen to me this morning. David, they lined them boys up. They kept saying, nope, nope, nope. Sam said, nope, nope, nope. That ain't him. Is there any left? Yeah, there's one out there. Taking care. We're not going to sit down until he comes. Bring him. And then he taught him this. He said, God's not. He was the least one. He was the runt. Amen. It wasn't the biggest one. It wasn't the smartest one. It wasn't the brightest one that went out there and faced Goliath. It was that least one. It was that one that nobody would have thought. But his heart was right with God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. The Bible taught us that God's not looking on the outside. He's looking at the heart. And he wants somebody to serve him this morning. We need to teach our children that the problem is a heart problem. But the solution is God's heart. God's heart. Number four. When it seems there's no way out, look at verse 13. The Lord will make a way. You say, preacher, I don't see where you see that in here. Look here in verse 13. The Bible said he divided the sea, and he caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. Let me tell you this to you this morning. The children of Israel were being pursued by the Egyptians. They changed their mind after the Passover there. They said, we're going to go get them anyway. Even though they had experienced the death of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And they went after them. They pursued them. And so here is Moses. And here's the people of God. Right there's the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptians. There's no way out. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We need to teach our children when it looks like there's no way out. There's a God in heaven that can make a way out. You say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? God told Moses, said, just reach that rod out over that water. And I'll tell you something right now on the authority of God's word. Moses reached that rod out there and that water parted hither and thither. And the Bible said they crossed on dry ground. Some of the modernists say, well, that was just a swamp. I'm going to tell you something right now. They crossed the swamp. Wouldn't that be good? But watch this. God drowned Pharaoh and his army in a swamp. Amen. No, 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 no. Why don't we believe the word of God? As water stood up there. Water stood up there. The ground was dry. And when the children of Israel got off on the other side, God closed her back up and drowned that wicked outfit. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. I believe the Bible. I believe when they crossed over, there was dust kicking up. Amen. I mowed the grass the other day and it seemed like I was mowing the dust. It was so dry. Amen. I raised the deck up and mowed anyway. But there was a lot of dust. I believe it was dry. But I believe all of a sudden it got wet and drowned Pharaoh and his army. You say, preacher, I don't know why you'd preach that about your children. Well, let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Everybody needs what I'm about to say. How many in this room, stand up if you're 19 years old or less. Stand up if you're 19 years old or less. Stand up right now. Hurry up. There's a bunch of them. Look out, all around this room. Okay, you can sit back down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody in this room needs to hear what I'm about to say. Beloved, there's going to be things happen in your life. You're going to be backed up against the wall, and you're going to think there's no way out. There's no way out. One little girl in school, I heard Steve Robertson tell this years ago in high school, I think there was 9 or 10 girls in the group, and 9 out of the 10 had already slept with somebody as a teenager. And they had this little girl pinned up in the bathroom, and they were making fun of her and poking fun at her. Are you listening to me this morning? And they were mocking her. There she was. Her back was against the wall. You want to know what happened? God made her a way out. You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what, I don't believe a young person's smart enough to think of this. But she looked at them. I believe the Holy Ghost of God gave her what to say. Every one of them was supposed to be Christians. I'm talking about church-going people. Are you listening to me? And that little girl said to that outfit that was standing around her mocking her, said, I can be what you are anytime I want to be, but you can never be what I am again. I said, hallelujah. There's somebody that understood. Beloved, listen. When your back is up against the wall, God will make a way out. Listen to this. We need to teach our children that. The Bible said there's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make thee a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. You know what God did for Moses? He made him a way of escape. You know what God did for that little girl in the bathroom? He made her a way of escape. Amen. All they could do is hang their heads. Because, honey, once you've already sold out, you're sold out. Yes, I'll teach you in a little bit. You can get forgiveness, but the scars will go with you the rest of your life. The best thing to do is live for God and realize God will make you a way out. Then let me give you this, number 14, verse 14, number 5. We need to teach our children that the God of heaven will lead us. Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all night with a light of fire. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. We need to teach our children, you're not in this by yourself. When you get saved by the grace of God, there's somebody to lead you. There's a book. We already talked about that. There's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. You say, well, I ain't got the Holy Ghost. I ain't got the Holy Spirit. Then you didn't get saved. I'm just telling you, read Romans chapter number 8. It's right there in the book. Praise God. There's the people of God. There's the church. There's a youth leader. There's a mom. There's a dad. There's a mama. There's a papa. There's somebody somewhere that loves God that wants to help you in the way of God. God gave the children of Israel a cloud by day. Said, when that cloud moves, you move. When that cloud stops, you stop. And at night there was a pillar of fire. When that pillar of fire moves, you move. And when that pillar of fire stops, you stop. I tell you, I like what one old preacher said. He said, the stops as well as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God don't always want us to be going. There's sometimes when he wants us, Brother Gale, just to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, our children need to know that God will lead us. Look at verse 15 and 16. Our children need to know that God will feed us. Watch what the Bible said here. In verse number 15 and verse number 16, the Bible said in the vineyard, I got the wrong chapter there. I got excited, smacked the pulpit, and it turned the page without my permission. Amen. Look at verse number, what verse we look at, 15 and 16. Look at this right here. The Word of God said, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Look at verse 24. And had rained down manna upon them and had given them of the corn of heaven. In another verse in this text, God said it was angels' food. Listen, God opened up heaven. And listen, God opened up a rock. Only God, beloved, listen, could tell a man like Moses, hit that rock right there and you'll have all the water you need. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that a picture of? At Calvary. Are you listening to me? God smote the rock at Calvary. Whoa, glory to God. We've got all the water we need this morning. Amen. The water of life is in the Lord Jesus. He was smitten for your sin and smitten for my sin. And every drink we need, beloved, listen, comes from Calvary. God, David said, I once was young, now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. Our children, we started out Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Charity and Elizabeth will tell you this. We started out, Brother Gail, I left the church. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a church. I didn't have an income. How many believes that them people down there at the bank, they said, that's okay, you don't have to pay your mortgage. How many believes that the power company said, you know what, we love you so much, Mr. Vinoy, you don't have to pay your electric bill anymore. How many believes down there at the water, how many's getting the picture? I left that church, I didn't have a job, I didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to go, but I knew God was leading the way. The Word of God said Abraham obeyed God, not knowing whither he went. I had a peace in my heart. We began to go from church to church, and I began to raise support for Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. God let us raise 70% of our support in 1 year. They'd give me a love offering, brother. I'd hand it to the girls in the back seat and let them count it. Boy, that's trusting, ain't it? You say, preacher, why'd you do that? I'll tell you why, Brother John. I wanted to know who was feeding us. I wanted to know that God was leading us. And if God's leading you, honey, God will feed you. You can mark it down. Amen. I wanted my girls to know that there was a God in heaven. And I believe to this day, they'll never forget what God did for us. One time we was in a church, there's 45 people. The man had lost his wife, Brother Grizzle, 2 weeks before I got there. His wife died. It was over in Jonesville, Virginia. 45 people in that service that morning. He got up, I preached, he got up and said, we're going to take up a love offering for Brother Vinoy. And Brother Thurman, they took up a love offering. After church, he reached in his billfold. Brother Steve, I'll never forget this. He took out a $20 bill, the pastor did. He said, Brother Vinoy, would you buy your family a hamburger on the way home? Listen to this, Sister Cindy. This man of God said, I'd take you to the house and feed you, but I don't have no idea how to even start preparing a meal. But he said, you take this. And I said, Brother Willie, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. He gave that to me, and I gave my wife the envelope. We got in the car, and we got going down the road, and I looked over, my wife just weeping. This was probably the first church, wasn't it, honey? It was one of them. If it wasn't the first church I was in, my wife was weeping. And you know how we are. Say amen, men. We're carnal. Say amen. We got that old flesh. And I thought, my goodness, honey, I've seen bad love offerings, but don't cry over it. I said, what's going on, Miss Eve? She looked at me and said, I quit counting at $500. Only God knew how bad we needed that money. Only God knew. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We ought to teach our children there's a God in heaven that knows what we need even before we ask, and he knows how to meet the need. That's the God I serve this morning. Beloved, listen, I'm going to go on. Let me give you this number. Well, what number are we on now? Well, number 7. Our children need to understand that most in this world will never acknowledge the goodness and the grace of God. Look at verse 17. The Bible said, they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. You say, preacher, God gave them water. What'd they do? They sinned more. Beloved, listen to me. Look down here with me at verse number 19. The Word of God said, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what we need around our church? We need to quit asking that. We need to quit saying, can God, and we need to say, God can. God can furnish a table in the wilderness, amen, even in these days. Would you look at it with me here? Look at verse number 32. The Bible said, for all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. God was being good to them, Brother Dwayne. God had opened the windows of heaven and fed them with manna. God had let them cross the Red Sea. God, beloved, brought them water out of the rock. God, Brother Gary, they marched around over in that wilderness for 40 years. How many of y'all would like to have a pair of shoes, the most comfortable pair you got, to last for 40 years? Glory to God, I'll take it. Say amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many knows when you just get them broke in, they just about to wear out, and you got to start all over again? Their clothes, their shoes lasted for 40 years. And yet the Word of God said they sinned more and they sinned still. I'm telling you this morning, we need to teach our children that everybody ain't interested in the things of God. And beloved, let me tell you something right now. I want to tell these boys something. You get around somebody that's not interested in the things of God, going to go the way of the world, it's time to part ways. Because, beloved, they'll drag you down. Beloved, they'll mock you. And, beloved, the first thing you know, you'll be saying things you know you shouldn't say, doing things you know you shouldn't do. I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to understand, yes, it's good to be saved, but everybody don't want in on it. The goodness of God is to lead us to repentance. But, beloved, there's some people, they're content in their sin. They're content to wallow in the mire. Number eight, I think I might be just about done. Oh, you got excited. You made a mistake. There are two sides to the God of the Bible. This is number eight. Our children need to know something that a lot of parents don't know. There are two sides to the God of the Bible. There's a side, listen to me carefully. Let me show it to you here in the Bible. Look in verse number 31. The Bible said the wrath of God came upon them. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 49 down through verse number 51. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. I don't know when God's going to preach this, but there's something right there, beloved, that I've never seen before. The Word of God said he made a way to his anger. You mark down what I'm saying, beloved. There's something right there. I might not be seeing it this morning. Maybe I can't handle it. Maybe you can't this morning. But there's a message right there that one day if God lets me live will come from this pulpit. He made a way to his anger. Now watch this. I'm showing you there's two sides. He's made a way to his anger, but he spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. You say, preacher, one side of God is revealed in judgment. Let me give it to you in one verse of Scripture. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Our children, beloved, listen to me. They need to know that there's two sides to the God of the Bible. There's two sides to the God of the Bible. There's two sides to the God of the Bible. I want to give you something to think about. One side is revealed in judgment, but the other side is revealed in Jesus. Watch this. This is good. I mean, it's good. You say, preacher, where did you see that? Look at verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. One side of the God of heaven is revealed in judgment. The other side of the God of heaven is revealed in Jesus. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to talk about mercy. I thought you were going to talk about grace. I thought you were going to talk about love. That's revealed in Jesus. Say amen. No mercy outside of Jesus. You say, preacher, you can't say that. I just did, and I ain't taking it back. That's Bible. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no mercy outside of Jesus. You want to see the side of God that's a side of compassion? You have to look at Jesus. You have to look to Jesus. You say, well, what happens if I refuse to look to Jesus? Then you'll see judgment. You'll see the other side of that living God. Listen to this. I thought this was good. There's a Spanish boy. He had a father. He and his father were estranged. They couldn't get along. They had parted ways. The father looked everywhere for him, Brother Gale. I mean, he went here, he went there. For months, the father went out looking for him. And finally, listen to me. He said, well, I'll just put an article in the paper. And so he puts an article, a little paragraph in the paper. And he says, son, This is Dad. It's all forgiven. It's okay. Paco, please come home. Said, meet me at the post office at 12 on Saturday. And when he got there, there were 800 Pacos. You say, what do you mean? I'm trying to tell you, beloved, that God is a God of compassion. And there's some people in this world that are seeking forgiveness, would like to have a new start, would like to know that they're not on the judgment side of God, but on the Jesus side of God. Beloved, listen this morning. I believe with all my heart, God is speaking to hearts in this generation. We need to teach our children there are two sides to the God of heaven. How many's ever heard this statement? How can a loving God send somebody to hell? How many's ever heard that statement? How many's ever heard that statement? Hey, Josh, come up here a minute. Come up here a minute, son. Would you? You remember his picture, Josh? You remember that picture? There's a picture here that I have that a lady. You just stay right here with me a minute, son. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you, okay? There's a picture here of the lady on the front row up there at the tent made. Jordan was the last one that came to Jesus on Thursday night. Brother Rose, you see me standing there, and there's Brother Cook. Well, Jordan's two brothers that were there wanted to come down and pray with him. I thought it was pretty special. I didn't know anybody's taking. This woman gave me this picture. It's put on a magnet. Miss Eve's already had it on the refrigerator. I asked her to bring it with this morning. This lady, Miss Linda, said to me, she said, I like taking Holy Ghost pictures. Boy, I like it. It's a good picture. Let me ask you something. I'm going to illustrate something now. Everybody listening? How many's listening? Are you tired? You want to go home? Preach. I'm used to inmates hollering that, brother, but I ain't used to Baptists. Amen. Amen. Now listen, let me illustrate for just a minute. Hey, Josh, you remember Brother CT? You like him pretty good, do you? I do too, buddy. I believe he loves us, don't you? I believe he does some good preaching, don't you? I believe he loves his boys, don't you? Now let me illustrate for just a minute. You stand right up there, Josh. Stand on that top step where everybody can see you, buddy. I'm going to illustrate for you. Now listen to me carefully. Old Josh, Papaw's got a wood shop up there above the house. After the tent meeting this year, old Josh comes to Papaw and he says, Papaw, he said, I really like that CT. I heard in a couple of years he might come back to Bristol and bring his tent. It might be 3 or 4, it might even be 5 years. I mean, he's going to be in Knoxville. He's going to be in Charleston, West Virginia, it looks like. I don't know when he'll get to come back, but let me illustrate for you. How can a loving God send somebody to hell? Watch this. Josh comes to me and he says, Papaw, he says, I'd really like to make something nice for CT. You've got wood up there in your shop, Papaw. You've got planers, you've got joiners, you've got saws, you've got drills, you've got routers. And Papaw, I found out that Brother CT likes to deer hunt. That's how we knew his heart was right with God, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. And Papaw, I found out CT ain't got a gun cabinet. Papaw, would you help me build him a nice gun cabinet? Papaw, I want it to be nice. I want it to be real nice. How many's got the picture so far? And Josh, he has to do his homework first now. And then of a night, we go up there and we're working to 9, 10, 11 o'clock for 2 years, Brother Steve. And we're putting carvings in it. We're making the dental mold like on the entertainment. We're making all that. We're making it. It takes time. And then we got to decide what color and the stain to put on. We got to decide about the shelves and the locks and the glass. I tell you what, you love him so much. You say, Papaw, can we just etch his initials or that little symbol like CT with the cross? You remember that little symbol? Can we do that up there in the corner? Oh, yeah, we'll get it done. I don't care what it costs, son. We'll get it done. Whatever, it's in your heart. How many's got the picture so far? We've worked for 2 years now. CT comes back to Bristol. And Josh comes to me and he says, Papaw, He said, I found out where Brother CT's staying in his camper in that campground in Bristol. And I know they done got the tent set up and they're getting ready to set the meeting. Getting ready to start the meeting. He says, Papaw, he says, can we load it up now? Can we take it to him? Now, how many see in his heart so far? Amen. You see that? The effort that went into it. Josh's heart. It's his idea. It's his heart. That's what he wanted. He just wanted to do something for Brother CT. So we go to the campground and I say, now Josh, listen, Papaw don't want no credit for this. Papaw don't want no credit for this. It was your idea, and son, if it wouldn't have been for you, it wouldn't have never happened. So what Papaw's going to do is I'm going to drop you off right here, and we'll set the gun cabinet out, and I'm going to back up here at the end of the campground, and I just want to watch. How many's got the picture so far? And Josh knocks on CT's camper door, and nobody answers the door. We know he's there because we just saw him go in as we pulled into the campground. And Josh knocks again. And nobody answers the door. And finally, Josh sees CT pull the curtain back, and he looks out there. He knows he's in there, so he knocks again. Josh has spent 2 years working out of love because he wants CT to have this gift. And finally, at last, Josh knocks so long that CT just throws the door open and says, son, I don't know what you want, but you're aggravating me to death. Would you just leave me alone? And I watch him as his head hangs down. And I watch him as tears start flowing down his face. And I watch him as he walks back towards the pickup truck. And he gets up there and I say, Josh, honey, what's wrong? He says, Papaw, you don't want it. Somebody tell me what's going on in Papaw's heart right now. Help me! The heart of the son, listen, would be broken. That's what happened at Calvary. When you don't accept Jesus, it breaks his heart. But there's a day coming, you listen to me, when the Father will have no problem whatsoever casting that individual that rejected God's Son, rejected the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God will have no problem saying, depart from me. They'll be cast into hell because they rejected the solution for sin. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sit down, Joshua. Thank you, buddy. I hope you want to make him something now. Amen. But I hope you'll get Mama to help you. Bob, my son-in-law Bob, he came to me one day and said, I'd like to make charity this real nice jewelry thing. I'd like to make it out of cherry. He knew what he wanted. Got it all done. I was getting ready to engrave the C in the top of it. He couldn't stand it. He had to leave. I free-handed it. Chance with a router. He just knew I was going to mess it all up after we'd done all. But I found out something. He asked me if I'd help him. I didn't help him. He helped me a little bit. Amen. Let me tell you what God wants to do this morning. He wants to help you a whole lot. If you're lost this morning, there's a side of God that's full of compassion. You find that in Jesus. There's also a side of God that's full of judgment. Everybody's going to leave this world one of two ways. Listen to me carefully. It's not complicated. With Jesus or without Jesus. With Jesus means no judgment. The Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus means judgment. That's all that's awaiting at the end of the road. I've preached this morning on some things. we need to teach our children. I believe our children, Brother David, need to know there's two sides to this God. There's two sides. There's a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. Hell wasn't made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. And every time somebody goes there, the Word of God said, hell hath enlarged herself. God didn't make it for you. He didn't make it for me. He loves you. But you trample on that love. You trample across that love. And you leave this world without Jesus. There's nothing but judgment waiting on the other end. I know this morning. We can't control what our children do, but we can teach them the precepts of the Word of God. It'll be up to them as to whether they receive them and embrace them or whether they reject them. Everybody hear me well right here. I've been saying this for years, and it's the truth. Remember I said a while ago it's a heart problem? See, God knows who's here this morning because you have to be here. And God knows who's here because you want to be here. Say amen. I can make my children do things up to a certain age, and they have to. And they grow up. Avery, you ain't far from that now. You're 15, ain't you, son? You're not far from that place in life where you're going to have to make some decisions on your own. Your dad's coaching you, you know what I mean? And there are some guidelines, but it ain't going to be too long. What's going to be revealed in all that? Your heart. If you have a heart for God, it's going to show up. And what you do and refuse to do. What you say and refuse to say. What you look at and refuse to look at. What you listen to and refuse to listen to. How many believes that's right this morning? Those that are getting baptized, if you'll go ahead and get ready, I want to give the invitation. Rest of us, if we will, let's bow our heads this morning.